Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk listeners. You have joined in tonight to my sister, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. It is a pleasure to come back to you once again in the first Monday of the new year of 2014. I hope that you had a wonderful, wonderful set of holidays, and I'm wishing God's blessings on each of you. Tonight, we are here to let you know that we still are here for our sisters of all ages, creeds, colors, educations, married women, single women, sisters, and just all the women that need us. We're here for the believers, the students, the housewives. Tonight we have a special show for you with a special guest. We have on the line with us tonight Miss Rebecca Williams, who is a facilitator for the TMF, Health Quality Institute. She's going to be sharing with us tonight about a diabetes self-management education program that she conducts. And also we have one of her caregivers with her on the line, is Ms. Galinda Jackson. So would you please go ahead and introduce yourself, Rebecca, and tell us a little about what you do.
Okay, my name is Rebecca, as you said, and I work with both the Dallas Area Agency on Aging as well as the Texas Health Quality Institute, TMS Foundation. They're the Quality Control Institute for the Medicare group in Texas. And what I do with them is facilitate workshops. I do workshops for the TMS Foundation on diabetes self-management, and then with the Dallas Area Agency on Aging as well, and then also some fall prevention classes with them.
Okay, good. Well, would you go ahead and elaborate a little bit about the agency and what it does, and as you were telling me about how it is targeting our diabetic population?
Yes. The TMF, Health Quality Institute, they're the Institute for Medicare Quality Improvement. And what has happened is we've come to realize that there's a disproportionate amount of African-American population as well as Hispanics who have a really high incidence of diabetes. And it's becoming such a chronic disease that's so widespread, not just with our adults and seniors, but also with kids. So they have a special grant available right now that provides free self-empowerment programs on diabetes self-management. And we're targeting right now with this grant African-American populations of senior citizens, preferably on Medicare. However, we even have a small group that meet that criteria. It's open to anyone who wants to take it. And so it's really important because we want people to be able to take charge of their own life and learn how diabetes affects their body, learn how to make sense of their body.
Good afternoon, ladies. I am so sorry for that. We were having a little technical difficulties. Thank you for your patience. Good evening, Blog Talk listeners and radio audience. We are here tonight to come back with our second half of our show for Daughters of Divine Destiny with Sister Demetria LeBlanc. Tonight, and we want to, since we had already had our introduction, we're just going to go ahead and jump into the show, and thank you again for your patience. Sister LeBlanc, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay, please forgive me for the technical difficulties. Go ahead and introduce yourself again and let us know what you're going to tell us tonight.
Okay, well, basically, my name is Demetria LeBlanc, and I'm the author of a book titled Daughters of Divine Destiny. And what that is a good sense guide to godly womanhood for young women ages 13 and up. And basically, we're just continuing an interview that we had on last week, and I was wanting to give an overview of the book because we never did get off into the different sections, but I would like to do that tonight if that's possible.
Well, go right ahead. Feel free to do and speak as you please.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, basically, like I had said on the previous show, God had gave me this vision, this mission to write this book about 2 years ago. And basically what he wanted it to do was reach out to his daughters, the young women that are being left behind, that are not being nurtured, that are not being cared for and taught the ways of life. And a lot of times, you know, mothers are busy, mothers and fathers are busy trying to raise a family, trying to provide for a family, that they kind of miss out on the intimate fundamentals that are needed to, you know, they need to pour into their children. And it's not done most of the time on purpose, but it's just, you know, it get overlooked. And so God wanted me to write this book in order to give some instruction on his behalf on how he would want his daughters to come back to him, how he wants them to live, how he wants them to conduct themselves. And when I was writing this book, I noticed that a lot of young women, as I go out into the world, don't really recognize their worth. You could tell that in the way they talk, in the way they dress, in the way they carry themselves, they don't have any self-worth. And so that's what I deal with in the first chapter, about knowing your worth and who your worth is in God, and knowing that it's not anything external, but it's all internal, the things that he put in you, the hidden treasures that are there that they need to discover, and not think that it's in the curve of their hips or in the prettiness of their face, but know that their beauty is more than skin deep. And I also talk about drugs and how that would how that can mess up their lives and mess up their bodies in the long run, and how it would definitely just it would take a toll on their lives if they went that route. And I talk about suicide and molestation, all the different things that a young woman are dealing with but are too afraid to talk about, be it shame or just being scared or afraid. And so I delved into that so they could have some kind of knowledge to know that they're not by themselves, that these things do happen. They are not pleasant, but they need to talk about it, because Satan would get into the secrecy. That's what he wants to do. He wants you to keep a secret so it could just eat you up on the inside, you know, until you probably would want to commit suicide. And I talk about suicide as well, and how Satan would get into your mind and fill it with destructive thoughts, and that how you need to fight that with God's word. And I try to give them different scriptures to use, because I know when I was growing up in the church, even though I was there, I had the foundation, I really didn't know how to apply it to my life. And I know a lot of young people are not even going to church. And so I wanted to give them the word, but I also wanted them to know how that word applied to their lives. And so that's just the first chapter. And God, when I was writing it, God said, make it plain, make it simple, so they can understand it, so even the youngest among them can understand what is being said. Second chapter deal with respect, how to respect your elders, how to respect yourself, how to respect your peers, how to respect your anger, just different areas of how to respect your body, just different areas of respect. I felt like a lot of young ladies were lacking in that. I mean, if you go to a store, you go to the bus. I mean, when we were growing up, it was always Mr. or Mrs. It was never, you know, call somebody that's old enough to be your mother or your parent by their first name. You never would, if you did curse, you never would curse in front of them. Nowadays, they really don't care. And they'll, if you're looking at them sideways, they'll look at you, you know, even harder. And so I'm noticing that there's a lot of home training that has not been done. And I talk about also in the third chapter, friendship, how to pick a friend, the qualities you want in a friend, why you're not going to have that many friends with those qualities, because it's hard to find a good friend, and how as you grow, you need a friend that's younger than you, that you can help and encourage, one that's the same age as you, that you can relate and encourage, and one that's older that can help and encourage you. So I kind of go off into how to pick a friend and how you don't let a friend choose you, but you choose that friend, you know, somebody that's compatible and have the same moral values that you have. And so basically it's just like a learning tool just to hit home with all those, all the important elements that a young lady needs to be to become a daughter of divine destiny. And daughter of divine destiny is a child of God with a godlike nature with a preordained future. That's what it stands for. I don't want to keep going. I want to know if y'all have any questions, because we just that's chapter three.
Okay. I was just sitting here taking a little note. So do you define the definition in chapter two of respect? Do you give them illustrations, or do you define it? How would you define respect?
Respect is basically it's showing reverence to a person. You know, it's it's and I explained to them that it's not something that you earn, but it's something you give to be given back to you in that order. You give it to receive it. And it's just a certain reverence of, I guess you could say, a niceness, a kindness that you extend to somebody. You know? And I do go into detail about different areas. You know, I talk about respect of your elders, respect of your words, which deals with, you know, not cursing and, you know, how to talk intelligently and express yourself without using, you know, foul language. Respect of your conduct and behavior, you know, how to carry yourself with dignity and to not have an attitude, and how you want to do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. And even if they don't do unto you as you do unto them, you still are accountable for your actions. Respect of your appearance, how you dress yourself, how you need to carry yourself, and how if you dress yourself like a prostitute, they will identify you as one, you know, or treat you the same as one. And being a child of God, you need to set yourself apart and be that peculiar person. You don't have to, you don't see, you're not of the world, basically. And so I explain in that instance about that. And I also talk about respect of your temper. A lot of young people have real bad tempers, and they just, they don't have any respect for human life. I mean, if you see on Facebook all these different fights and things that they are getting into over little issues, they really don't think before they act, but they're ruining their lives because that one act of violence could cost them a lot of time of their lives while them being locked up. I talk about respect of your spirit, how you need to feed your spirit with good substance, the word of God, spiritual things, not, you know, all the derogatory rap music and things of that nature. So it really goes into depth about respect, you know, your atmosphere, respect of your home and how you care for your home, and eventually if you have children, how you take care of them. So that's what the chapter respect deals with.
Okay, wonderful. That sounds really interesting. Do you think that our young ladies will take a hold to just that one chapter? How do you think they'll handle that? Have you had any responses on any of the chapters of the book?
A lot of the young ladies that responded to me said that, you know, a lot of it they just really didn't think about, and they really just never really gave it any thought. So I'm thinking it's kind of eye-opening that it opens their eyes to see, you know, hey, maybe I do need to look into how I'm talking or how I'm acting or how I'm dressing. And because I don't think they really, you know, a lot of times back in the day when I was growing up, the older generation, they would give us the side or they would tell us, you need to go home and change, you need to put on a slip, you need to do this, you know. And we respected them and say, yes, ma'am. But now they're not getting that. They're not coming to the churches, so they're not getting that wisdom. And even when they get there, people are not telling them anything or in love. It's just, you know, oh, that's that girl that dressed like this, or that's that girl that does this. Or, you know, it's not somebody trying to bring them in and trying to, you know, love them through what they're going through so they could, you know, get corrected and do things the right way. So,
okay.
Yeah, and I found that so I find it.
That was going to be my next question. How do you approach them, or how would, if you were in a situation where that you saw them or heard them being disrespectful, I'm going to say at church or maybe at the grocery store, how would you approach them? Give us some tips on how to handle that.
I would kind of read their first of all, you got to kind of read their, I guess you could
body
say
language.
Their body language, exactly. You have to read that to know if they're approachable, because some, you know, you probably look at them and say, even if I do say something to them, they're not going to receive it well. So you got to have kind of a spirit of discernment on who to approach and how to approach. You know, some you might be able to go up to and say, hey, let me talk to you. You know, you are just too pretty of a girl to be doing this or doing that, you know. You really need to think about changing, you know, your ways or something like that. That's what I would normally do if I felt that spirit of discernment for me to talk to that young lady that she needs to be reached out to. Now, some, you just say, okay, they're not on that level yet, so you just have to pray for them. So you really have to have a spirit of discernment because you can't approach everybody that way. Like I said, everybody don't grow up in the church. Everybody has not been trained, so they will slip on you in a minute if you don't approach them right.
Okay, wonderful. That's really a good approach that I think we all should have. We should just go to them in love if they are seem to be approachable. You know, it's kind of hard if they're not, and so you don't really know what to do unless you have a some kind of a psychological degree or counseling mode. Have you ever did counseling?
You know what? I have, not professionally, but yes, I have. I have, have counseled a lot of young people. Yes, I have.
Okay, that's
definitely. And that's why I think I have a heart for them. Yeah.
Okay. Is that one of your background, a little of your background is counseling?
Basically, within the church, I dealt with a lot of young ladies. I've had this passion for a long time, and at my church, we started a program, Princess of Queens, and we would take the young girls out and show them how to be treated like a princess, you know, just to show them how to go to a nice restaurant, how to sit, how to be appreciated, you know, how to love themselves. And I would rent out hotel rooms and invite all the girls, and we have this rap session, and, you know, we said, what goes on here stays here, and we just answer some questions from A to Z, whatever they wanted to ask, we answered. And so it was just really giving them a way to have an outlet. And so, yeah, I did counseling in that aspect of it.
All right, wonderful. Beverly, do you have any questions?
One of the things I was thinking about when you were talking about helping them understand about the way that they're dressed, I think from watching some of the shows and I kind of try and watch some of the stuff so that I can see where the minds of the young people are and understand where they're going today, because some of it's so outlandish, it's just hard, sometimes hard to believe. But I think one of the ways that we could help young women is to show them that if she's dressed a certain way, show her how to dress another way and let her do a comparison. And also show her that if she changes some of her ways, how it will advance her and help her. Because this generation is an instant generation, and they have to see how it will benefit them. If it has no potential to be a benefit to them, other than you just saying it's the right thing to do, they're going to yell, uh-huh, and go on and still do it because they're going to listen to their friends. But I think if you show the young women today how it will benefit them to dress appropriately, to go ahead and get that education, and to listen to a mentor, and show them how it's going to benefit them in so far as how they live, how it can change their life, how it can improve their lives, help them understand and make better decisions, I think we might be able to get them to read the book and to listen to you when you talk about the book, and get them to see other women who have maybe started out that way, and they changed their way, and they listened, and they took time to pay attention to what you were talking about. And so I think because it's an instant generation, we have to show them as well as tell them that how things can change for them once they listen to a mentor, they listen to a godly woman that's coming to them and showing them the good things that God has for them. Because now it's an instant pleasure, instant everything, and they, unless they can see that it's going to actually benefit them, they don't really want to listen to what you're saying.
You know, I find that so true. Even with writing the book, I said, you know, when I was hosting a rap session, one of the young ladies said, you know, well, you know what, they're not going to read it, because I thought about it. She was in college, and she was saying that she wanted to write a book about how college life was and, you know, the pitfalls and what to look out for, but she said nobody would read it, you know. And so that kind of vexed my spirit, but then God was saying, you know, no, His word would not go out there void. So when I wrote the book, He not only told me to write the book, but He said make it workshop, conferences, and retreats. So you not only have a book, but you have interaction with these young ladies, you know.
Right,
and
right.
you bring the book to life and you, you know, you have show them and you kind of walk them through it. And so that's what I'm working on right now, having a workshop. It's a back-to-school workshop called New Year, New You. And so it'll be a series of four workshops, and we'll break it down, and they would it would just build off of each other. And so it's kind of just building a rapport with the girls and just carrying them through and kind of, you know, being able to touch them and love on them and kind of let them know that people out there cheering for them and let them know that it is a better life. But in the book, I explain to them they can't do any of this without being a child of God. They have to accept God as their Savior, and they got to figure out who they're going to follow, if they're going to be under their own will or God's will. And so that's an important key. When you're not living for yourself and you're living for God, there needs to be a change in your life. And that's the thing. It's a heart change, and it don't happen overnight, and it's a progress, a process. And so I want them to know that, but a lot of them don't even, they're not even at step one where they even know, you know, there's another way to live, that, you know, there's a godly life that, you know, a God, a life that God has for them. They don't know that. And those are the ones that I really want to reach, the ones that don't even know God, because they could walk out the house one day and be gone and never have had an experience with God, and they just don't know. And it's so important to know, because
I agree, because you wouldn't want anyone to leave this world and not know that God is real, not experience his love and know that all the times and things that were going for you were, that was God loving on you, that was him protecting you and taking care of you. But I also think that it would be so wonderful to bring that book to life, to show them how God has taken other women and that have in the same experience that you, or in a worse position that you, and she's, through God's love, learned who she really was. She learned what her really her needs were and what she wanted, and that was through God's giving her an understanding of who she was, who he created her to be, and that she could do anything she wanted to do and not think that, oh, this is the life that I have to live. You don't have to be anybody else other than yourself. He made you special. Mm-hmm. And
that's
we need
right.
to let our young ladies know that they are special. I was just reading something when you were talking, and it was just so, it was like I was reading your book, but I hadn't read your book. And it was this place called Relevant Bible Teachings, and I was asking the question, how does the Bible define a woman? And it was everything that you were saying.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just like, oh, my goodness. I'm sitting here, and one of the things that hit me is that it says, women must come to see that godliness is the ultimate measure of a woman.
That's right. That's right. God,
and that just hit me. I'm like, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it
that's
right
it.
There.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what your book is saying, too, that that's
exactly.
the measure of a woman. It's not how many, and it was saying, it's not how many men you sleep with. It's not this, and it's not that. It's not how many stuff you gather.
That's right. That's
it's
right.
It's none of that.
Mm-mm.
And we need to get our young ladies, more of them, as many as we can, to understand that you are worth something.
Exactly. And, you know, they look at, they're freeing their spirits with so much of the TV and the worldly things that the Christian lifestyle is just getting swept under the rug, and we have to be more loud and we have to be more aggressive and going out there and getting our girls. And the reason why the girls are so important is because they are the ones that are producing children and producing the next generation, and most of the time they're the ones that are raising that generation. And so you're going to keep having generation after generation going through the same cycle if we don't do something right now to stop it.
That's right.
So, you know, be aggressive about it and say, hey, you don't have to do it that way. You don't have to do it the way the world shows you. God has a better plan for your life. But if we're not out there aggressively trying to pull them back in, the world is going to take them like they have been and just tossing them to and fro, and they don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. So they go to drugs. They go to sex. They go to men. You know, they go to material things. And we got to let them know that none of that is eternal. Only God is eternal, and that's the only thing that can heal them and make them whole. And so that's the message that I really want to get out there to them.
Yes,
before
I agree.
Before they even go to that extreme, and that's why I was starting as young as I was, 13 and up. Sometimes it's even younger because
are the lifestyles that they have led and the environments that they have been in, that they're so far advanced. And we're thinking girls don't know, you know, younger than they don't know.
Well, yeah, they do.
They do. They do. Exactly. And it's scary because I hate to even know that young people are going through that at such a young age, even to even have to go through it here, but at such a young age is devastating. So.
Oh, yeah. The book is, I've been talking to Lashonda, and I've been talking about this Women Empowerment Conference for October, and it's just so ironic when you start talking, I'm like, my goodness, this is it. This is exactly what everybody's across the nation they're trying to do and get women to understand that you are strong. You have your own. God empowered you with abilities and skills and knowledge, and you have the ability to stand up and be a woman. And, again, I was looking at this article, and she says she's different than man. She has the compliment for man. She has different roles in marriage than the man. True womanhood is doing all that she does, regardless of where she presently is in life, to the honor and glory of God by honoring his word.
That's right. Yes, that is right. And, you know,
I told you, you were talking, I was reading this article, it's like, my goodness.
It's lining up. And that's how you know it's God, because when he's about his, when you're about his business, it will line up. It will line up. And in dealing with the dating and relationship part, when I was writing that, on the sex part, you know, we have these, today it's just, sex is just something casual. It's nothing that, you know, you wait until you're married and things of that nature. And if you tell them, you know, look, you need to wait until you get married to do things the right way, God's way, and this is how you get blessed, they look at you sideways. But in the book, I give them an example of doing things the world way and God's way. And so, really, I'm not telling you which way to do it, but if you, you know, if you're under the will of God, you will strive to do it his way. But if you want to do it the world way, this is what you get for doing it the world's way. And so in that, I was hoping that they would see the benefits that they would get from doing it God's way. And I don't know. I don't know if they could, well, we all know that it's a struggle of wills or willpower to do it our way or to do it God's way. But I just want to stress to them that doing it God's way, they're going to get a lot farther in a short amount of time. And so if we could just get that message out there to them and just to, I don't know, just plant that seed. That's just plant the seed so God can do the watering and the increase.
Yeah, we've got to get to work, and we can't keep sitting in the church house and saying, let's pray. And we will pray, and we should pray always. But let's also get out there about going to the young ladies and talking to them and showing them and guiding them and letting them know that we're just not talking this one time and we'll never see you again, which
exactly.
is generally
exactly.
what happens. We just do it one time, and that was supposed to be the magic potion, and we don't come back to them again.
Right,
I think
right.
we need to get more involved within our community and let these young women know that there's opportunities out here to give them careers and give them skills and knowledge so that they can go out here and build strong lives and be productive citizens. We don't want a whole generation of young men in prisons and young women on welfare.
That's true. And that's exactly what's happening. That's exactly what happening. It's a generational curse, and we need to break that curse. And you're right, like we the churches do need to get out of those four walls and go out into the communities and take back our youth, because they are our future. And if you look around, that future is looking pretty dim.
Oh, yeah. It's really getting bad, and they don't really understand the importance of when you become an adult and you're having to live on your own, because as long as there's a mom around or a grandmom around, you have pretty much safety that things go crazy, somebody's going to rescue you. But
right.
at some point in time, it comes in your life where mom and grandma might be have gone on, or
right.
they're in such poor health that they can just barely take care of themselves. Then what are you going to do?
That
after a while,
true.
you've run out of places to go. You have to learn to be able to be an adult and take care of yourself.
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, I taught my sons that. They was wondering why I was so hard on them, but I knew that, you know, when me and their father are gone, they're going to have to learn, they're going to have to know how to take care of themselves, and even before we're gone, because once they get graduate and get out the house, they don't need to know how to take care of themselves because I don't want them coming back. So that's why I wrote Life Skills. That's chapter 7 of the book. It says, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Show him how to catch fish and you feed him for a lifetime. And so basically that's talking about life skills, how you learn how to do different things to be self-sufficient, from cooking to cleaning to going to work to how to manage your paycheck, how to, your finances, how to build your credit. So it talks about those different things. And in the workshop, we would delve deeper into it, but just to get them to thinking about it, because a lot of them never really thought about it. And they never thought about credit. They never thought about how to build it or how to keep it good. And they never thought about any of those things. So God wants me to just talk about everything that that a young woman and young man would need to know in order to just be a woman of worth. And that's basically what this book is doing. So, yeah, life skills, that would definitely, and then you have college and career. How do you choose a career? How do you know a passion from your purpose? So it talks about all those different things, and I'm hoping that it would open up their eyes so they could see something bigger.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. We have some new callers on the line, and we're going to ask if anyone that has joined us so far would like to ask any questions or have any comments to Ms. LeBlanc about the book Daughters of Divine Destiny. If you just join us, we are discussing the book that Ms. LeBlanc has wrote for our young ladies from the ages of 13 to...
That's 13 and up.
Mm-hmm. 13 and up, okay. Mm-hmm. And she has some good insight and some good information for our young ladies. And we are also asking that if we have anyone in our listening audience that would like to give us a call at 310-982-4126 and talk to Ms. LeBlanc tonight about her book, Daughters of Divine Destiny, to feel free and dial in. And we will certainly acknowledge you, and if any of the callers that are on the line right now that I see have joined us would like to ask any questions, feel free to go ahead at this time and ask your question or give your comment. No one wants to comment or ask a question of Ms. LeBlanc tonight. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
I purchased the book, and I am on chapter 5, and I actually, she signed the book for me. I got her card. I actually don't even have the card anymore because I gave it to someone who's doing a panel for young women this coming weekend to get in touch with you because the book is so easy to read, and it does touch some. So far, what I have read, it touches on everything that a young lady needs to know.
Good. Yes, that was my goal. I wanted to make sure I didn't leave anything out.
Well, I have been sharing it. A coworker of mine saw the book on my desk. I was away from my desk, and when I came back from my desk, she was, "How do you find these books?" And I was like, I met the author. I said, "This book is really good." She actually took it to lunch with her. She's like, can I read a little bit and not lose your spot? And I was like, sure. And when she came back, she goes, "This is so good. I'm going to have to," she was trying to copy, like, the information to get in contact of the purchasing of the book. I couldn't remember exactly where you told me it was. But she did copyright all that page.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and give her that opportunity right now to give our listening audiences that information. Ms. LeBlanc, would you go ahead and give them where they can find your book and purchase it?
Yes, they can go to my website. It's divine-daughters.com. And it's also on Amazon, and it's also on Barnes & Noble. Just type in Daughters of Divine Destiny. You should be able to pull it up. But it's you can get it on my website. And if you want an autographed copy, you can get that from the website. And it's divine-daughters.com. And just go to, it's book. And then you'll see the links on there to purchase a book, autographed, non-autographed.
I have a question about that. Do you have any type of, and I know that This may not be
excuse me. Wait, Janice, excuse me. Hold on one second. Hold on one second. That the person in the back background, we're getting some background noise. Would you please mute your phone if you're having background noise coming through, because this is being recorded for archive, so we would like to not have the background noise if all possible. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Janice.
Okay. My question is like, can you buy in bulk, like 10 books at a time? And
yes.
So is there, like, a discount or no?
Yes, you can. And the books are usually, they're $15. Just depending on how many you buy in a bulk, I can get a discount for you. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'll contact you on that.
If you want to, let me give you my email address, and you can contact me personally, and we can talk about that. My email address is Demetria, that's D as in David, M-E-T-R-I-A, underscore LeBlanc, L-E, B as in boy, L-A-N-C, at yahoo.com.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, just send me an email, and I'll be sure to respond.
Okay.
Or you can send it to Daughters of Divine Destiny at yahoo.com. That one works, too.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. We have some more callers on the line. Is there anybody else who would like to ask Ms. LeBlanc a question about the book? Callers, go ahead if you have a question. Okay. We're being shy tonight, and we're not speaking to our guests. Okay. Well, that's good. We'll go ahead and continue. So you did you tell us what chapter 4, 5, and 6 was about? Because I have 7 is life skills and 8 is college and career. Okay. Mm-hmm. What was 4, 5, and 6?
4 is dealing with your hygiene. It's basically just telling them how to keep their body clean. You know. I really wanted to reach out to the girls in foster care, the ones who didn't have, you know, a mother or father in the home, or ones that were being raised just by their fathers, or ones that mother is always busy and just really hadn't taken the time to sit down with them and, you know, share it with them, different things on how to keep their body clean and what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And so that's what 4 is dealing with your hygiene, how just to keep your body parts clean and, you know, dealing with menstruation, dealing with how to deal with that. How to deal with a yeast infection, things of that nature. So that's what number 4 is dealing with. Number 5 is dealing with dating and relationships. It's talking about how to not give a man the benefits of a husband when he's not asking you to be his wife. I noticed that a lot of young girls, they're so quick to sleep with a young man thinking that he's going to, you know, want them or love them, and they do it for the love and the affection because they might not have a father or they feel unloved and they feel that's a way of getting love. But they don't know that they're setting themselves up for failure because they're just giving pieces of themselves and not really giving anything in return. So dating and relationships talk about fornication, talk about having booty calls and friends with benefits and baby mama. So so that's what the dating and relationships talk about. And they also talk about stop being a renter when you're looking for a buyer. And that basically means that don't let anybody rent you. Don't let anybody use you to benefit them, you know, so you can please them. And then when they're finished and had enough of you, they leave and go on to something, somebody else. And so I basically tell them that a worn-out place rarely gets a buyer, and your buyer is your husband. And so it deals with the renter and buyer situation. And I use the analogy of buying a house and renting a house and how they need to be in the position to be bought and not as a wife and not as being rented and having multiple tenants, for lack of a better word. So that's what that talk about. And sex is pretty much, it's just talking about basically how you have sex, what that is. I was very straightforward. I even put a disclaimer in there because God wanted me to make it plain. He didn't want me to sugarcoat it because if you talk to these young women now, they don't sugarcoat anything. They talk to you real plain, and they make it real simple, and they make it real – it kind of sounds vulgar, but it is what it is. But I talk about sex, and I just basically tell them how what sex is, how you have it, you know, anal or vaginal, you know, those types of things. So I didn't leave anything out, but it's
in the proper perspective. I told them how you get pregnant, how long it takes one time, how you just have those soul ties connected to you by having multiple partners, and how the spirits stay with you, you know, and how they show up in relationships later on. That's basically what sex is talking about. And then it's talked about, you know, giving you the, I guess you could say, the difference between doing it God's way and the world's way. And one of the things that I talk about in here is, let me give you the example, just to paint. You have sex the world way is if you really like or love the person, do it. If you really like and love that person, you know it's okay to have sex with them. That's what the world tell you. But God's way say no premarital sex. If he's not your husband, don't have sex with him. And then I go on to explain what that means and break it down. The next one is it's okay to be just a baby mama. That's what the world tell you. But God says no children before marriage. And so I give them what the world tell them, show them, and the benefits that is, you know, which is really no benefits. And then I tell them about God's way and how they do get the benefits and his blessings. And the next one is, would be you are free to have sexual relationship with whomever you want. That's the world's way. The world's way said that if it's male, female, whatever it is, it's okay to have sex with that person. But God says each man should have his own wife and wife her own husband. And so really instead of telling them what to do, I give them an example of what the world is telling them and how that varies in contrast with what God is wanting them to do. And so I would hope that by them getting, when they experience God, when they, if and when they give their life to God, that they would want to do it his way, and this is how they do it. And so those are, that's 4, 5, and 6. And as you said, 7 was life skills, and that talks about, you know, just, it talks about knowing how to take care of yourself, how to wash your clothes, how to, you know, get in the kitchen and get a recipe and just try to, you know, cook a meal. You can just follow the instructions. That's how I learned. You know, I get a recipe and I follow the instructions. If it didn't come out right, I look and see what I did wrong and, you know, go back and do it again. Then when I get familiar with it, I add my own little tweaks in and develop my own flavor. And so it's just basically just, you know, just telling them how to grow as a woman.
Amen.
And so that's 7. And, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm listening. I'm just listening.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
It's dealing with college and career. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And it's just talking about how you need to, instead of trying to figure out what you want to do or should do, I tell them the first and foremost, pray to God and ask him what he created you to do. What is your purpose for being here, you know? And, you know, to help you develop that within yourself, because I know I wasted a lot of time not really knowing what my passion was, but, you know, having a lot, knowing what my purpose was, but having a lot of passions to do different things. But when I asked God finally and he showed me, it all made sense and I was able to put things in perspective. So I was telling in the book, it says time waits for no one. So ask God what your purpose is. He's your creator. He made you. You know what he created you for. Ask him so you can be on the path of doing things that he have you to do for your life, that he will for you to do for your life. And the last chapter, well, next to the last chapter, is salvation. In salvation, I let them know what that means, and I extend salvation to them because I know a lot of young ladies that might get this book might have never heard or knew God's ways, and that's basically telling them how they accept Jesus into their lives. And then I give a testimony of how I accepted God into my life at age 23. And the last chapter, chapter 10, is words of wisdom. It's just giving them wisdom, words of wisdom to carry along their life journey. And basically different things that were said to me, different things that I picked up along the way, I just wrote down for them to have. And basically that's the gist of the book. I try not to leave anything out. I tried to add everything that God spoke to my spirit to put in, and that's basically what brought this book all together.
Amen. Very good. Mike, I was wondering, did you say that in the parts of the book that you have some places where they can jot down ideas or you ask them questions that for them to ponder on or
yes.
Like something like, do you have a workbook to accompany it, or how is that structured?
Well, you know, at the end of each chapter, there's a question and reflection section, and basically ask them questions over what they read, and then they have a self-reflection at the end to see where they're at, you know, to look at themselves and to reflect on where they're at and if they're living up to that particular standard. And so that's at the end of every chapter.
Wonderful, wonderful. Give them a perspective on what they've learned and what they can take out, the take out on it. Okay.
And I was thinking about developing a workbook to go with it later on. God hasn't told me to go forth with it yet, but they do have portions in this book at the end of each chapter to reflect on. So if you want to use it for a Bible study or, you know, for a teen class, that you could do that as well.
Oh, wonderful. Good. Because I think it would be very helpful in, like, a teen class for young ladies today, you know, that have lots of questions about some of the things that you talk about in the book, would make good topics, you know, just to sit down and have a discussion with. And I like the fact that you started with taking teens and young ladies to a place where they could just express themselves in one room, and it didn't get out of the room, and nobody had to feel intimidated or their parents going to find out how they felt about it. I think that was a very, very good move for the young ladies. And if we could develop more times like that for the young ladies of our churches or in our neighborhoods that we know that are, you know, just having issues of any of these natures, it would really help a whole lot for the community, you know. That would be just really a good thing to do.
You know, it definitely would be a good thing. I know the girls really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it myself. I did it along with a friend of mine. She's gone now, but she was the help part of it. She worked at a hospital, so she would answer all the health questions, and I'll answer all the life situation questions, and we tag team on some. But it was just a lot of fun. They knew we loved when we did it in fun, and, you know, we made them think about their choices that they were making, and, you know, made them see, you know, if they made this choice, what that looked like. Because a lot of times, as you say, this is a microwave society. The teens, you know, now they just want everything right now. And when you want things right now, you don't think through a process. You don't think of the what if. If I do this, what is going to happen? You don't think it all the way through. You just think about, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to do it, and I think about the consequences later. Even if I think about the consequences, you know, you just think about them when they happen. That's how this this group does now. And so it kind of gets them thinking through the process. You know, if I do this, this will happen, and this, and I'm, you know, so they would think through it instead of just doing stuff, just to do it.
Right. Yes, because I know when we were coming up and going through these issues, we were just told, don't do it, okay? And this is the, you know, and we really didn't get the reason why not to do it. They just say, don't do it, you know? And I think that's a really good structure right there when you just tell them that there are consequences for doing it, you know, and explain it in detail and just point blank. You know, and I think that's what a lot of our young ladies today need. We just need to be point blank with them in godly form, spirituality to them, but just point blank. You know, it's just what it is.
They will receive it.
Better. Yeah, they will receive it.
Yeah, exactly. And they receive it because they want that. You can't tell them, you know, just because I said so. That's not going to fly with them. They need to know, okay, why, and, you know, what's going to happen or whatever. Do what I say. They won't take that.
Yeah, because there's a lot of them say, well, let me bump my head first, but if I can tell you how not to bump your head and the reason why, that it's going to hurt you when you bump your head, well, maybe you will accept that more than just saying don't do it, you know.
Exactly.
Because a lot of them just say, well, let me experience, let me go through it, and then I can tell you, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to keep you from going through that pain. So let me tell you something about this, okay?
You know, it's a funny thing. You know how when we were growing up, we'll think our parents didn't know anything. They don't know. They just, you know, we're going through something new. They don't know what we're talking about, you know. So they figure that, you know, a lot of older women carry themselves, you would think that they have always had it together, always been holier than thou, always, you know, made the right decisions. But they don't share that with the young people, you know, because one reason or another, they're ashamed, or they don't want them to lose respect for them because of some choices they made in the past. They want them to keep them up on this pedestal. But they just don't know that they're doing them a disservice when they don't explain to them their struggles and how they made it through and how they're just trying to look out for their welfare. And so a lot of them just think that they're just, you know, saying, you know, if I was you, I wouldn't do that. But they don't really say, if I know that this and that can happen to you, mm-hmm. because it happens. And so we're not sharing, a lot of us not sharing our stories. Yeah.
Right. Let me ask you this. Do you have any emphasis about drugs and alcohol addiction and street life in the book?
I have about drugs and alcohol. Basically, that's in the self-worth part and taking care of your temple, and I go into explaining to them about how when you're in the military, I said in the book, my sons were in the military, and when they came back from boot camp, they sat down and talked to us about, you know, the experiences they went through. And they said, yeah, they told us we were their property. And I was like, property? You know, that's kind of rude. But then when he explained it to me, he said one of the comrades, they had got into an altercation with each other, and they had one had a black eye. So they brought him up on charges for destroying military property, which was their bodies. And I explained to them that their bodies, when they become a child of God, their bodies are no longer theirs. They belong to God, and they need to take care of it. And that's their temple. And they need to take care of the things that they put in it, which is drugs and how that can affect them. And how if they take that, you know, to try something out to see how it might feel, they might never be the same again. Also, let them know the choices that they make are the choices that they will have to deal with tomorrow. So, yeah, I do talk about the drugs. That's in self-worth part, and that's about taking care of your body.
Okay. And then friendship, as I was looking at that, and that's in your third chapter. Do you give them examples or emphasis on who you can trust and who you can't trust, and how do you develop the friendship through the trust that you have for that person that you're developing the friendship with, or how do you explain that?
Yeah, I did give them an example of how they develop trust within a friend, how they would, you know, first of all, I gave them a story, an example of how when I went to school and started and I was fairly new there, and just, you know, when you're fairly new someplace, when somebody talks to you, you kind of gravitate towards them because you want to, you know, create those friendships or whatever. But I let them know about that person approaching me and befriending me and me being friendly back to them. Without any knowing anything about their background, I kind of got associated with their reputation because, you know, they had developed a reputation in the school, but I didn't know it. I was just trying to have a friend. So I told them how they have to be careful. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So I told them how they have to be careful of the flock that they're associating, make sure they're associating with the right flock. And I also tell them how you would trust somebody, how you give them a little bit of information, nothing that can hurt them or anything, and see if they kept it and no associates got, you know, came back to you saying anything. And then you test them again. So I told them it's a tried and tested relationship to see if that person is a potential friend. You have to have different exchanges with them to see if, you know, if they're a good fit. It's nothing that happened overnight, but it's a gradual process, and it's a process of experiences and exchanges with that person. So, yes, I do talk about that. And I tell them how they, you know, the things that they should look for in a friend and different things like that, things that they probably never even thought about, you know, about being compatible with them, things like being able to communicate, you know, with them. If they have something that is bothering them, they need to be able to talk it out with each other. How they want somebody that's considerate, somebody that's enjoyable, somebody that's loyal, that has integrity, somebody they can just laugh and be silly with, somebody that was just fun. So, yeah, I do go into detail about those different things and what to look for in a friend.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, we are winding our time down now, and I was wondering if anybody on the line that has not spoken up or has been listening at 310-982-4126 would like to ask our Ms. LeBlanc a question or give a comment tonight before we get ready to end our show. We certainly thank you for joining in tonight and listening in, but we would love to have your comment or your question or just your thought or what you're thinking about this topic or about the book. If you don't mind, you can feel free to jump in and ask a question or give a comment or just tell us something about what you think about the show tonight. If there's anyone out there listening, I see we have some callers on the line at last four digits, 1741-0578. 8700 or 1308. Is there any one of you that would like to comment tonight? Question? Thought?
Hi, my name is Nalana LeBlanc, and I just wanted to comment on the book. I love the way she tied in the book, spiritual, from a spiritual point of view to natural, a natural being. And I just love the way she started the book off with the introduction, teach them the way they should go. Because whenever I reflect back, that is what our grandparents did to us. I think you made the comment on the way that we were brought up. They didn't give us reasons. They just told
right.
us what to do and what not to do. And we trusted them, and the Bible says it takes a village to raise a child. And I think we strayed
right.
away from that, and that's why we have lost so many of our young women to the world, because we're afraid to tell them, you shouldn't wear that, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't say that. And we
mm-hmm.
have to be examples for them. Even though we don't see them watching us, they're listening to us. And I just love the way she started the introduction with that, teach them the way that they should go. And also her one of her chapters, Knowing Your Worth, that stood out a lot to me as well, because it doesn't matter what the world thinks of you, your first concern should be what God thinks of you. And he tells you in his word that you mean the world to him. He would have never given his only begotten son if he didn't think that you were worth that much. And I just love the way she had that, knowing your worth as the very beginning part of the book. Because mm-hmm. once you have that relationship with God and you know what you're worth to him, what you're worth to him, nothing else will matter, but it will not become the number one thing in your life. God will. And that is the way you get on the straight and narrow path, by knowing that you are first to God and he should be first in your life. So
thank you so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we thank you for your comment tonight and sharing with us, and we also thank you for being online with us tonight. It has been such a pleasure to have you ladies on tonight discussing Daughters of Divine Destiny by our author, Demetria LeBlanc. And Ms. LeBlanc, one more time, would you go ahead and give them the information to purchase the book or where it can be found, your website and your email address in case someone is listening that has not wanted to play shy and not ask you a question about the book or anything that you have said tonight. Go ahead and give us all the information and how to reach you.
Okay. As I said before, you can purchase the book on Daughters on my website. It's divine-daughters.com. You can go on there and you can get an autographed copy. Just go under the link that says book. Also, you can send me an email at daughtersofdivinedestiny@yahoo.com. I check it every day, so that'll be a way to reach me. If you want to know more about the website, check the workshops. Check on the website. I will be uploading that information soon and any other upcoming dates as well. But the website is divine-daughters.com. And you should be able to the Facebook link is on there. The email address is on there. So if you just go to the website, you'll be in contact with me any kind of way.
All right. Amen. We thank you so much for that information tonight, and it has been a pleasure having you on the show these two Monday nights, and we thank God for you, and we wish you very well, that your book will just cover all of our young ladies in Dallas, over the nation, and God bless you, and thank you so much. Beverly, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay,
it was a pleasure to listen to this young woman. I really am looking forward to reading that book, and And I hope that I will be contacting you about our Women in Conference Empowerment Conference for October for you to come out and be a speaker for us and for you to bring out some of your books. It will be a pleasure to meet you and hear you speak about that book and help encourage our young women to be better women and strong women. So it was a pleasure to meet you on the phone, and I hope to meet you in person real soon.
Okay. Sounds good. Amen. Sounds good.
Beverly, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and pray us out tonight and give God's blessing over our speaker.
Father God, we thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for touching us and guiding us all during the day. And, Lord, we thank you for bringing this young lady on the air, and we thank you for her heeding your word about doing something, helping some young lady out here tonight. If we can save one a day, that'll be to your glory. And we just hope that all of us coming together in Jesus' name, that we'll be able to help some of our children. If we can't touch everyone, Lord, we'll present everyone to you and pray that something that we say, something that we do, something, Lord, that you've given us our skills and ability that we can use them to help one of these babies. We don't want to lose not one. But, Lord, we just come to you for the strength. We come to you for the grace and mercy, because we give all things to the glory of God, and we just want to praise you and thank you for using us. Thank you for finding us worthy to do what you need us to do, Lord. And I pray that all of us women will come together and empower our young women to be the women that you would have them to be. We thank you for all things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies. We have run out of time. God bless each of you, and have a good rest of the week, and God bless. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night. Good night.